Amen. Thank you, worship team. Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning worshiping together. Welcome to our service. It's interesting that, you know, last Saturday we were getting all excited about the potential of a snowstorm. And then yesterday we were all wishing we'd put on sunscreen as we worked out in our yards in the 80-degree weather, right? So go figure. And now it looks like it's cooling off even yet again. So, but it's a great day to be worshiping. It's great to have everybody here. This morning. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. God, we thank you for just a day to worship you and focus on you. And I thank you, Lord, for this series that we're in as we look at how you created us and how you shaped us and the things that you put in each one of us to make us unique, but that you did it with a purpose and that you did it with a plan in mind. And so I pray that we would just open our hearts and open our minds as we walk through this series on shape each week and learn and discover more and more about ourselves and what that means in terms of how we should be serving and making the world a better place as we serve others along the way. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes. We started the series last week. We're actually going to be in it through the very first Sunday of June. We're going to take May 6th off for a food fight, which we'll tell you a little bit more about at the end of the service. But we're looking at this series we're calling Shape, and we're looking at how God shaped each one of us uniquely with a purpose in mind. And as we introduced the topic last week, we said that God could have just made us all alike if he'd wanted to, right? I mean, he could have just done a conveyor belt mass-produced process for human beings, and we'd all look the same and talk the same and have the same hair color and all of that stuff. But God didn't do that, and here's why God didn't do that. Because an original is always worth more than a copy. An original is always worth more than a copy. You would rather have an original Monet hanging on your wall than a copy, wouldn't you? We all would, because it's worth a whole lot more. And so in this series, we're going to look at five things that make us unique, five things that make you, you. And we're using this little acrostic SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, to kind of guide us along the way. And so here's what SHAPE stands for, just real quickly, kind of recap last week. The S stands for spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about those today. And then next week, we're going to talk about the H, which is heart. And another word would be passion. You know, what are you excited about? What are your passions? What kind of moves you and stirs you emotionally? What are your interests? The A in SHAPE is abilities. We all have natural abilities, don't we? You have them, I have them. We're going to talk about them in two weeks and how we can actually use those natural abilities for God's purposes. And then the personality, or P in SHAPE, stands for personality. You have a very distinct personality. I do too. Yours is different than everyone else's in the world. We all have different personalities. We approach situations very differently based on our personality. So we're going to look at that a little bit. And what does that mean for us? And then finally, the E is for your experiences. Because we all have unique experiences. We might have similar experiences. We might even experience the same thing together, but we're gonna experience in our own unique way based on all the other elements in our shape. So we have vocational experiences. We have spiritual experiences, relational experiences, good and positive experiences, and then really, really difficult and painful experiences. And so God wants to use all of these things to shape us for the purpose that he has for our life. So today we're looking at S in SHAPE. We're looking at our spiritual gifts. And I just want to start out by saying that the subject of spiritual gifts is probably one of the most misunderstood areas in the Christian life. And we can't cover it all. There's just too much to cover in one sitting. But I do want to at least kind of scratch the surface a little bit today. And I want to start with this verse from 1 Peter where he says, "Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in serving others, so use your gift well." And I want to give you what I would call five truths about spiritual gifts. And there are five things that I think are really, really important that we just understand from the beginning about spiritual gifts. So here they are real quickly. The first one is everybody has at least one spiritual gift. If you're a follower of Christ, if you've stepped across that line and given your life to Christ, then you've got at least one spiritual gift, probably several. The second thing is this: no one has all of the gifts. No one individual has all of the spiritual gifts. If you had all of them, you wouldn't need me. If I had all of them, I wouldn't need you. And God wired us to complement each other, and God wired us to work along and serve alongside of each other, all in our unique ways, and to bring it all together. Third, you don't get to choose which gifts you get. God is the one that chooses those gifts. You don't work for them. You don't earn them. You can't go out and make something that's not there. God is the one that chooses which gifts to give to each one of us. And number four, your spiritual gifts, they're not for you. They're for other people. They're not for you. They're other people. God gave them to you so that you could bless people and to serve others. And then finally, the fifth truth, and this is a really, really important one, is spiritual gifts, they're different than natural abilities. And I think sometimes we confuse those things. Now, they may complement our natural abilities. They probably dovetail in with our natural abilities in a lot of different ways, but they're different. When you were born, you were given certain natural abilities, right? Every one of us, we've got natural abilities. I mean, have you ever noticed when kids are born, there are some things they're just naturally good at, right? Nobody taught them that. You didn't teach them. Nobody else taught them. It was just kind of inborn in them. It's a natural gift. Some of you, you're really good at math. Others of us, we took math twice in college, okay? Some of you, you're really good at mechanics. You like using your hands and you're good at that. Some of you, you're good at art or you're good at music. Some of you, you're very, very coordinated, and so you're a natural athlete. You're good at athletics. You've got a good sense of balance. Some of you, you can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time, right? You don't have any coordination. You're never going to be that athlete. It's just not in you. You didn't get those natural abilities. So you were born with a set of natural abilities. But here's the deal. When you stepped across the line and you chose to be a follower of Jesus, you got a brand new set of spiritual abilities to do new things for God. So what's the difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities? I think the simplest way to view it is this. The difference is spiritual gifts, well, they produce spiritual results. Spiritual gifts will produce spiritual results. For example, have you ever noticed the difference between someone who could teach the Bible and someone who is actually gifted in teaching Scripture? There's a huge difference. The difference there is the difference between information and transformation. A good teacher can give information, but someone who is spiritually gifted in teaching Scripture, it's a matter of people's lives being transformed. They're changed because of that from the inside out. In fact, I know a lot of people who are great teachers, and they teach in school, they teach in college, or they teach in their industry, their business, their professional teachers, but they don't necessarily have the spiritual gift of teaching because they're two different things. Have you ever noticed the difference between someone who is naturally good at singing and someone who has the spiritual gift? Have you ever noticed that? Why is it that some people, they sing and you can go, that was really good. But then other people, when they sing, you feel it in your heart. You're moved emotionally. It grabbed me is what you would say. They have the gift inside of them. When you hear somebody who's a really good singer, you go, wow, don't you? When you hear somebody who has the spiritual gift of music, you go, wow, God, because it pulls you in and it brings your attention to who God is in some way. Have you ever seen the difference between somebody who tried to encourage you and somebody who actually had the spiritual gift of encouragement? There's a big difference. We've all been there probably. Some people, they try to encourage you and you're like, thanks, no thanks. You know, you're not really helping me right now. In fact, you're really kind of messing me up right now with all the things that you're saying. But someone that has the gift of encouragement, they know just the right thing to say. And the interesting thing, I've watched people that have the gift of encouragement, they can say it in just a few words. And they know when to not say anything at all. But they know exactly what to say. And anytime you have a conversation with them, you always walk away feeling encouraged. It's because they have that gift. And this is what God says our gifts are for, is their additional power in our lives through the Spirit of God to do the purpose that God has given to us. So let's talk about some of the reasons, like we did last week, some of the reasons that you and I, we need to understand our spiritual gifts. And some of the reasons why we ought to try and figure out what they are as followers of Jesus. Here's the first reason I think we should figure them out. It's kind of like what we said last week and with shape in general, is when we understand our spiritual gifts, it helps show us what God wants us to do in life. Remember last week, I used an example of architects. And architects, they work with this idea in mind that, that form follows function. In other words, tell me what the building is going to be used for. Tell me the function of the thing that you want to build, and then I'll tell you what you should build. Because if you're building a school, that should look a whole lot different than if you're building a mall, right? Or if you're building a hospital, or if you're building a house. With people, though, we said it's the exact opposite. Of function follows form. Figure out what your shape is. Figure out how God has wired you and what He's given you, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your experiences, your personality, all of that stuff. And then you'll have a better idea of what you're supposed to do with your life and how you can actually serve others and help make the world a better place. So your spiritual gifts, they help you understand what God wants you to do and how God wants you to help others and serve. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "My life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus." Did you know that God has work for you to do? He does. Specific work that He wants you to do while you're on this planet. And nobody else can do that work. It's your life's work, and it's unique to you. And God doesn't put people on earth without giving them a work to do. And your life, your life work, it involves all kinds of things. It involves your job and your career. It involves your family and your relationship and all of these different things. And God never gives you a task to do or work to do without giving you the ability to do that. And part of that ability is your spiritual gifts. Take a look at this passage that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians. He says, "There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, yet the same Lord to serve. And there are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person." Did you notice Paul used that word "different" three times? There are different spiritual gifts. He says, we all get different spiritual gifts. He says, there's different ways of serving. We all do it and come at it from different angles. And he says, there are different types of work to do. And we are all called to serve God. We're just called to serve Him in different ways. So don't try to be a copy of somebody else. Don't try to be like anybody else. You're unique, and you need to work from your unique shape. Now, there's nothing wrong with having healthy role models. I think we ought to all have healthy role models in our lives, but we're not called to be them. We're not called to be somebody else. You're unique, and your life's work is unique. And our spiritual gifts, they're one of the things that help us understand that. That's why two Christians can kind of approach the same problem or the same situation or the same thing, and they see it from different angles because they're gifted in different ways. You always approach problems and issues and things, you always approach them from your giftedness. For example, if I were to invite a bunch of people over to my house for dinner, and we've had dinner, and somebody's getting ready to serve dessert, and they're walking out with this beautiful, beautiful dessert, and all of a sudden, they stumble, they trip, their foot catches the carpet or something like that, and that dessert just goes flying across the room and goes splat on the other side of the room on the carpet, right? If you have six people sitting around that table, and each one of them have different spiritual gifts, they're going to approach that situation much differently than the other people will. For example, if you have the gift of exhortation, I know that's a church word. Another word for that is prophecy, but it's not like the prophecy in the Old Testament that we think of, which is kind of typically doom and gloom type of stuff. But if you're sitting there and you've got the gift of exhortation, you would probably be the person that would be most likely to see the spill happening before it does, right? Because people with this spiritual gift, they're always trying to anticipate something or trying to correct something that happened, or they're trying to figure out, you know, if we make this decision or we go down this path, then this is what's likely to happen. That's a spiritual gift. On the other hand, if you have the gift of mercy, you're gonna be the one that jumps up and you're gonna say to that person who dropped the dessert, "It's okay, don't worry about it. We've all done that, it's no big deal." Because your goal in that situation would be to relieve embarrassment, right? You can empathize with that person. If you had the gift of giving, you would say, "Don't worry about the dessert. Let's just all go out and get dessert. It's my treat, right? I'll buy," right? That's the gift of giving. You're always trying to figure out a way to give to people, whether it's financially or in some other ways. By the way, if you discover that you have both the gift of mercy and the gift of giving, you had better make sure you have some systems in place and some security things in place, some safeguards in place, because otherwise people will take advantage of you and you will be broke most of your life, okay? Because you'll see a need, you'll want to meet the need, you'll have the financial resources to meet the need, and you'll be throwing money at every need you come across, and you won't have any money left to take care of life. So I've actually known a couple of people who had both of those gifts at the same time, and it was a struggle for them to figure out how to serve out of that without going too far and without getting themselves into trouble. If you have the gift of serving and you see this dessert catastrophe happen, you'd probably immediately jump up and say, "Don't let me clean that up," and you would just start working to make things better, wouldn't you? Because your goal is to help and to meet a practical need. On the other hand, if you have the spiritual gift of teaching, you'd probably say, you know, the reason that the dessert fell is because it was a little off balance on this side, and the rug had a wrinkle in it down here. They're always trying to figure out how things work and how we can pull information out and how that information can be helpful, although I'm not sure it would be helpful in that particular case. But it is a spiritual gift. And then finally, if you had the gift of administration, and that's actually a spiritual gift, administration, you would probably be the one that would be saying, "Why don't you get a mop and you get some towels and you get down here and help me do this, and you go fire up the stove and start making a new dessert," right? You'd be delegating people using your spiritual gift. So knowing your spiritual gift will give you some idea of what God wants you to do, and how you can serve other people and how you can bring your unique self to different situations as they come along. Here's another reason that you should know your spiritual gift is knowing them will help you understand how much you're worth. It will help you see your worth. And your gifts show you your worth. They show how valuable you are because God has put something valuable inside of you. And the reason why you have value is because of what God says about you, not because of what other people say about you. And I said last week that one of my goals in this series is for all of us to become more confident people. And if you want to be more confident, then you should build your self-esteem and you should build your self-worth and you should build how you see yourself on these three things: that God created you, that Jesus died for you, that's how much you're worth, and that God's Spirit lives in you, and that you have that ability that God has given you. That shows your value. And if you're a parent, you should teach these three things to your children as early as you possibly can. Because when kids understand, hey, God made me, and I'm unique, and nobody else is like me, and so I don't have to compare or compete or criticize, or I don't have to project on others, and I don't have to copy, when they understand that, it will make a big, big difference in their self-esteem, in their self-worth, and how they view themselves. You want to see your value in God? Take a look at this verse. He says, "We are God's masterpiece, and He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us to do all along or long ago." The Greek word masterpiece in that word is this word. It's the word poema. Can you guess where we get what English word we get from that Greek word? Yeah, the word poem. It's the answer is in the question, isn't it? But God says, "You're my poem. You're my work of art. You're my masterpiece." And remember, an original is always worth more than a copy. So knowing your spiritual gift, understanding what they are, will help you see your purpose. It'll help you see your worth. So finally, how can we take some steps to put our spiritual gifts to work in serving others, in making the world a better place? I want to give you four things real quickly this morning. They all start with the letter D, so it should be pretty easy to remember or write down. But the first thing is you've got to discover your spiritual gifts. You've got to discover what they are. And there's a couple ways that I would suggest, a couple of things I'd suggest you do to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. And the first thing is a spiritual gifts inventory. And I put a little link on the screen. It should be on the bottom of your outline. If you're not taking your outline home, snap a picture of that screen right there, or find it online a little bit later on our website. But a spiritual gifts inventory are just these little simple tests. They're not that long. They're not that big a deal. That ask you questions about, you know, rate yourself or pick these words that best describe you, or in this situation, would you A, B, C, or D, that sort of a thing. And when you get to the end of it, it kind of points you in the direction of maybe one or two or three of your top spiritual gifts. So it's a great way to just kind of get you started moving in the direction of understanding what they are. But I do need to say a couple of things about spiritual gifts inventory. And the first thing is this. They aren't perfect, okay? It is not an exact science at all, but I think they can be a really helpful little tools to get you started. Anybody taken a spiritual gifts inventory before? Lots of us in the room. They're really good little simple tools. This one's a pretty easy one to do. The second thing I would say about them is they tend to be a little on the churchy side, okay? So if you didn't grow up in church, or if you're kind of new to church, or coming, the words they use, you might say, I wouldn't use that word. You know, you're going to hear words like exhortation and things like that. So they can be a little bit on the churchy side. But like I said, I'd encourage you to check this one out. It'll only take you a few minutes to do. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I'd certainly love to hear what your spiritual gifts are, or if you need any help understanding them or getting moving forward with it, I'd be happy to help. Some of our other staff would love to talk to you about that. We've got other folks in our church that work in this area and understand this pretty good and could help you with that. And then here's another way to discover your spiritual gifts. So the spiritual gifts inventory, all that stuff. Experiment. You just got to experiment. The inventory, you're never going to learn everything you need to learn about your spiritual gifts just by taking a test. I don't think you'll ever do it that way. Some of you, you're sitting here and you're going, you know, I'm just waiting for God to show me what He wants me to do with my life. Well, guess what? That's never going to happen. And here's why. Because you can't steer a parked car. Okay, do you ever think about that? You can't steer a parked car. So you need to get moving. And when you get moving, then God can steer you in the direction that you need to go. So just get out there and do something. Volunteer for something, anything. Just start using your life to help other people. Don't wait. Put it into action. Just do something, right? So you discover them. The second thing you need to do is you need to dedicate them. You need to dedicate them back to God. And here's why I say that. Because of Romans 6, what Paul writes, he says, give yourselves completely to God since you've been given new life. Use your whole body as a tool and do what is right for the glory of God. I would say some of us here, we probably already know what our shape is. We know what our spiritual gifts are. We have a pretty good understanding. There's no surprises there to us. But you're just not using it. Or you're not using it at full capacity to serve other people and to make the world a better place. And what you need to do is once you've discovered it, once you know what it is, then you need to commit it and dedicate it back to God. And then number three is you got to develop your gifts. You got to develop them. I hinted on this a little bit last week, but this is really, really important to understand about spiritual gifts. When you get them, and even when you discover them, they're generally in seed form. They're generally in seed form. They have to be grown. They have to be nurtured. Gifts are like muscles. The more you use it, the bigger it gets, right? The more it develops. And you can strengthen and you can develop and you can grow what God has given to you. In fact, let me give you a little secret. And this is something that I've learned personally firsthand, and I've seen it in lots of other people's lives through the years. But it's this, that when God gives you something, if you use it well, He will give you more. When God gives you something, if you use it well, He will give you more of it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not giving you a prosperity gospel message here, okay? This is not Creflo Dollar or Joel Osteen or any of that stuff, okay? So let me just be really clear about that. But if God gives you a talent and you use that talent well, God will give you more talent, or He will strengthen that talent that He's given you. If you give God your finances, God will grow your finances, not so that you can have more and buy more, but so that you can do more for the glory of God. If you give God your influence, God will give you more and more influence. If you give God your relationships, God will give you more relationships, or better relationships, or stronger and healthier relationships. When you use what God gives you, and you use it well, and you use it for His glory, He says, I can trust that person. And so I'm going to give them more of that. And I'm going to give them more of that. And I'm going to give them more of that. So discover, dedicate, develop. Here's the last thing. You got to deploy your gifts. You've got to deploy your spiritual gifts. And unfortunately, we know all too well what the word deploy means these days, don't we? Deploy means, it means you put into service. It means you get out in the field. You put something into action. You start doing something. And Romans 12:6 says, we are to use our gifts different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. So let me close with this. Just imagine. Imagine what would happen if everybody in our church did this. I mean, imagine if we had no spectators here. What kind of power and what kind of impact would we have in our community and in the world if all of us, if we said, we're going to figure out what our shape is. We're going to figure out how God designed us uniquely. We're going to figure out what our spiritual gifts are and our natural abilities and our experiences. And we're going to figure out how God wants to use all of those things to make our community, to make our world a better place. I think that would be an unstoppable force. If everybody discovered, dedicated, developed, and deployed their gifts, we would see even more amazing things happen here. So let's do this. Let's go after it this week. Just one step at a time, one letter at a time. Check out the website that I gave you. Take a few minutes. It'll only take you a few minutes to walk through that little spiritual gifts inventory test. I think you'll be interested in what you find there. Start experimenting. We got lots of places to serve here for people, and you can experiment. If it's not a right fit, we'll move you somewhere else and help you find somewhere else until you find the right place. On June 3rd, we wrap up this series. We're actually planning a ministry fair, and we've done this before, where we'll just have a lot of the people who lead in different areas of ministry in our church just available to ask questions, answer questions and help you figure out, is this a place for you that you might want to check out or you get more information about that? So make sure you're here on June 3rd and join us for that. But the fact is, you know, we're all in this together. And God has some big things for this church to do in the years to come. And every one of us is unique, and every one of us has a part to play in that plan that God has. So let's go after it together. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for creating us. But God, thank you even more for how you created us. That, you know, and we can't even get our minds around that you actually saw us before we were ever even born. Each and every person that's ever lived and never will live. That's how big of a God you are. And even though we can't even come close to fathoming that, it's true. And you created us, and you created us in a very specific way, and you created us with a very specific thing to do in our lives. So God, I pray that each week as we take a different part of our shape and we look at it a little bit closer, that we would just take some steps to understand ourselves a little bit better in the process. And then God, ultimately, I pray that as we understand more of how you created us and the things that you put in us, that we would understand what it is you want us to do. And then I pray that we would take maybe some difficult steps for some of us and some scary steps. We would actually step out and start using some of that for your glory and start using some of that to serve other people and to make the world a better place. And then God, help us to recognize how we're already doing that, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, but so that we can see you working through us and in our lives. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song of response.